You don't just want financial advice. You want to build skills, discover tips, hacks, and strategies to master your finances in easy, bite-sized pieces. This is 30 Minute Money. And here's your host, certified financial planner, Steve Wershing.
Welcome back to 30 Minute Money. I'm Steve Wershing. We're coming up on a time of year when people will be graduating, many people will be relocating in the country, and many of them will need to find a new apartment. So I thought it would be good to talk with an expert about how to most effectively find an apartment and how to make sure that your next experience is a positive one. Adrian Winter is property manager for the Mark Sewick team, one of the most successful real estate teams in Rochester. There he manages 134 apartments. And before he joined the team, he worked for a national company organizing remodelings and rentals for properties all over the country. He's worked in San Diego, in Atlanta, in Baltimore, and other places. So he's got over a decade's experience in organizing these kinds of things. So he's the one we wanted to go to ask him the advice about how to find the right place and how to establish the right relationship. So, Adrian Winter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me very much. I appreciate it.
So let's just start off with the lay of the land. What's the rental market like in Rochester? What's it like to try to find an apartment?
Yeah, so right now, plain and simple, the rental market is very competitive in Rochester. I think that is a very common theme in a lot of cities throughout the country right now and for the past few years, to be honest. Historically, Rochester has been, at least in my experience, a little bit behind the curb in terms of prices and competitiveness and that kind of thing. But it's really catching up right now. In the past two or three rental seasons, we've really noticed that it is more competitive now than it ever has been.
Yeah,
there's tons of competition for everything from studios to three or four bedroom units.
Yeah, so I know that you know the real estate market itself is white hot around here now, and that if you want to buy a house, for example, you had better be on top of things, and you better have an all cash offer, and you'd better be first in the door. Is it like that for apartments or for rentals? I should say renting houses or apartments or. I mean, is it that competitive?
It's not that competitive, but it is similar in a sense. What I've really found is that it's really trickling down from the competitiveness of the sales side of things in terms of real estate. There's a lot of competition, just in the sense of a lot of people who would be or are ready to be first-time home buyers, for example, that normally would move on from an apartment to buy their first home are having trouble right now because of how competitive the real estate market is, especially in that price range of a first-time home buyer generally. So a lot of renters are ending up staying an extra few years because of that. Even if they are ready, they're pre-approved to buy a house, they really just are having a lot of trouble because there's so much competition. So that is essentially log jamming the rental market, where a lot of those apartments would be opening up because people are moving on to a first-time home purchase. They're staying longer, and then there's still more people coming in to look to rent apartments. So okay. That's just adding to the competition.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a challenging marketplace, a competitive marketplace. If somebody's starting out that search, they're starting to look for an apartment, what kinds of things can they do to, you know, to try to locate and then, you know, secure an apartment that that they would like?
Yeah. So it really is different in almost every city. For example, if you live in New York or Boston or one of those cities, a lot of times people will use a licensed real estate agent to help them find an apartment, which that is definitely an option here in Rochester. It's not the most common way to go about finding an apartment. My personal opinion, I think that the best way really to get somewhat of an advantage or to see the best units is really to have a local contact in the city of Rochester that has experience and that can kind of steer you in the right direction once they find out some information on what you're looking for, some details, because that will, it will really give you an advantage over a lot of the you know, your peers that are looking for apartments, because it is so competitive, as we discussed earlier, that a lot of property managers and landlords, if they post an apartment online, I mean, they're being within 24 hours getting over 100 emails or calls or texts for these apartments that they posted. And it is really difficult to weed through, you know, a lot of those calls and emails. And, you know, when you're getting such a high volume of them.
Sure.
So if you can get somebody that, you know, can just say, I've got these three units available, or I could show you something along these lines. It's really going to be, it's going to get your foot in the door. It's going to be an advantage.
So when you say, you know, get a hold of somebody, how would they find somebody like that? You mentioned, you know, contacting a real estate agent who might be able to help mm-hmm. you find somebody. But what when you say make a contact and you know, have that kind of conversation, who are you talking about, and how would people find them?
Yeah, so I think if you're coming to the Rochester area and you don't know anybody in the real estate market or anything like that, which is obviously very common, I think a good way to start would be contacting, you know, if you've got friends locally or family or anybody that has rented in the last 5 years that had a good experience with an apartment. I think a great way would just be to contact some of those people and say, you know, who's your landlord or property manager? Do you know if they have any vacancies? Do you know if they have any units coming up? That type of thing. And just to get a contact, an email or a phone number from somebody, whether it's a property manager or a landlord, and just reach out to them and start that way. And if they don't have anything right now at that time, you can say, well, can you keep my number? Can you keep my information and let me know if you have anything coming up, or talk to any of your colleagues that might have some apartments coming up in the area. That type of thing, I think, is very beneficial when there's so much competition right now, just to be able to spark a conversation with somebody that can, you know, at least steer you in the right direction.
Sure.
And go from there.
So, you call a friend or a family member, somebody who's renting or has rented mm-hmm. recently, and get that contact for the property manager. I mean, if the property manager says, no, really, we have nothing available right now, how, you know, could you ask, you know, are there other property managers you would suggest I call, mm-hmm. or is that not done?
Sure. No, I think that in the rental side of things, it's that is there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. And a lot of times, you know, for if a property manager or a landlord, somebody like myself, if we really don't have any units available, and a lot of times we'll say, well, I'll have something maybe in 45 days or something. You know, I can keep your information and call you when I get confirmation that something is going to be available. But if that time frame doesn't work out for you, which is fine, a lot of times we know somebody else, or okay. there's a friend of a friend who might have something available. It's just it's a good way to get the ball rolling.
So
instead of just blatantly searching online.
Yeah. Well, and so you bring up another thought that, you know, if it is that competitive and you're talking about, I may have something open in the next 45 days, how far ahead should people be starting to do these searches? If they know they're going to be moving to town on the first of a particular month, how far ahead should they start looking?
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a fine line, because a lot of times I will have somebody approach me and say, I will be moving here. I'm looking for an apartment, you know, this budget, this neighborhood kind of thing, which is great. But they'll say, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not moving there for 4 months. And that's a little too soon, because mm-hmm. especially for property managers and landlords, you know, you really can't ask a potential tenant 4 months before their lease expires if they're going to be moving out, that type of thing. Sure. So it's a little bit early. Sometimes we have a sense if somebody's been there for a few years, or we know that they've started the home buying process, they're most likely going to be moving. So maybe you can line something up. But I would say a good point to go on would be 60 days roughly before, okay. Maybe even a little bit earlier, but at the same time, if it's inside 60 days, that's not the end of the world. A lot of times 45 to 30 days is enough notice too.
Okay. How fast do places turn over now? I mean, if somebody leaves, how long typically is, I assume it's not open very long if it's that competitive a marketplace. How big a window is there usually between when somebody leaves and the next person moves in?
Correct. Yeah. We really don't have any gaps, to be honest. It's more, somebody moves out of an apartment, 99% of the time, by the time they move out, we've already got somebody signed on, leased, ready to move in. And at that point, it's really just how much time do we as a property management company or landlord need to turn that unit over and get it ready for the next tenant so that it's in the condition that we would want somebody to rent one of our apartments in.
Yeah.
So that can range anywhere from we've turned over apartments if we have to in a weekend, or a handful of days if somebody has to be in by, if somebody's out on the 31st and somebody else needs to be in by the 5th, a lot of times we can do that. A lot of times, most common with us is we'll do half a month, so 15 days essentially. If somebody moves out on the 31st, we would like to get the next person in by the 15th of the following month.
Okay.
If we can, but nothing longer than 30 days. And that's usually if we need to really paint an apartment or make any sort of other updates like that.
Hey, it's Steve. I have a quick offer for you, and then we'll get right back to the show. Don't you hate it when you see an interesting headline and click to read the article, only to find that you can only get the first couple sentences, and then you have to pay to subscribe? The problem is that you may be interested in lots of articles across lots of publications, and subscribing to all of them just wouldn't make any sense. If you'd like to get access to a collection of articles on money and lifestyle, I have an invitation. I subscribe to a service that gives me access to dozens of publications, and I'd like to share that with you. Each week, I handpick a small collection of articles and send them out to my friends on Friday. It includes articles from Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, The Economist, and many more. If any of them interest you, you'll have access to the full article without a subscription and never a paywall. Just sign up for the weekly email and you'll start getting yours right away. Go to focusedwealthadvisors.com/publications to get your free subscription. Get access to articles from dozens of the most informative publications totally free. Focusedwealthadvisors.com/publications, and you can start getting yours today. Now, back to the show.
So if somebody is looking, it's a competitive marketplace, they can ask friends and family if they've rented lately. They could ask property managers directly, and if the property manager has nothing coming up, they might refer those folks to other property managers. Mm-hmm. What about it? Like if you're moving to town because you're taking a new job, would it make sense to ask people at the new employer about, who they might be connected to or who they mm-hmm. might, who in that office might be renting that they could connect with their property manager?
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I don't think it ever hurts to have a local contact, a person that you can email directly, call or text, just to establish any sort of relationship, just because in the competitive market that we have now, just going blindly online through the apartment search websites, anything like that, it really is kind of, you're feeling around in the dark a lot. And even the worst is when you find a great apartment online, you love the pictures, it looks like it's perfect for you. And, you know, you email, you call, and you get no response back. And, you know, I totally understand how frustrating that can be for somebody looking for an apartment. But at the same time, as somebody on the other end, the property manager or the landlord, when you're being inundated with hundreds of calls or emails, it really is tough to get back to everyone, in a timely period, especially when, you know, your first five calls or emails might be really well qualified candidates for the apartment, and it might already be gone.
Yeah.
They just haven't had a chance to take it down. So any way that somebody can find to establish a local in-person contact is by far the best route, whether it's coworker, family, friends, property manager, anything.
Any associations or organizations that people could tap into that might be able to refer them to a few property managers?
There is locally in the Rochester, the city of Rochester, we do have, there are several actually, little landlord groups that we have where people bounce ideas off each other and that type of thing. So really, if you can get in touch with any of the handful of local landlords or property managers, that's a great way. But I would say if you're moving to the area and you've got, you know, you don't know anybody locally, you're coming for work, you know, those are very common situations. I would say for sure to talk to some coworkers or your supervisor or anything like that, see if they know anybody. And, you know, if not, start looking online, obviously. But in a lot of times you can find, whether it's on Zillow or any of the bigger websites, if you find a building or a specific apartment that you building that you like, which has several apartments in it, a lot of times you can find the company or the, for example, us, the contact of that property manager or landlord, and try and reach out to them and hope that they're not being, you know, inundated with a ton of responses for those specific units.
Okay. You reminded me of something else you were saying. You know, you find something online, you see the pictures, you really like the pictures. I've heard, and you can correct me if this is not right, but I've heard that one of the things people need to watch out for is that there are also some scam artists, some people who will post something and then, you know, they'll try to get a deposit from you, and then they just sort of like, right. So is this something people should worry about, and how do they protect themselves from it?
Yeah. So, and this has happened to us. I know plenty of people it's happened to. A general rule of thumb I would really say is that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, if it's a beautiful apartment and for some reason it's half the price of something, you know, that's local, that's similar, it's probably too good to be true. We have had situations where, we have apartments posted online from us and on a certain website. And then I get a call or an email or something from somebody saying, hey, I'm supposed to look at this apartment with you on Friday, that I found we're already set up. But I just wanted to, why is the price different on another website, on Craigslist or something, for example? And I say, what do you mean? And then we end up finding out that somebody just stole all of our pictures and the bulk details of what we posted on another website for $400 less. So essentially, one of the worst things that somebody can do is to send funds, send a bank transfer, a wire transfer, anything like that, or even sending a check in the mail to a prospective landlord, property manager, management company, anything like that. If you have not seen the apartment in person, if you have not had a phone conversation, FaceTime, anything like that with the prospective landlord or property manager, do not send funds ever, just because it's anybody that's asking for funds up front without showing an apartment, even a video tour, a walkthrough, anything like that is most likely trying to take advantage of people.
Let's say that, you know, you're time constrained and you're going to have difficulty, you know, in a competitive marketplace to get there and see apartments. You know, is there anything besides face-to-face that doesn't expose people to too much risk, or do they really just need to get with them personally?
So you do not necessarily need to meet physically in person. Like you said, you brought up a great point with, you know, people's work schedules, time frames for things. A lot of times, if an apartment was just posted, it will go in a day or two. So if you, for some reason, if you just can't make it to see it in person, your schedules don't line up with the landlord or the property manager, I don't think that you should immediately consider or have any red flags or anything like that, because it's not always the case. But I would definitely ask for, if you're able to do, you know, a FaceTime showing or a video chat, something on Zoom, anything like that, with the landlord or property manager, do that, or at least ask for if they can send a video walkthrough, if they can text you that, or if they can email you that video, just so you can at least have some sort of visualization, you know, just for your own sake, whether it's the layout of the apartment and everything like that. Just to one more layer of protection for yourself to ensure that you're not being taken advantage of.
What would most landlords ask of you to be able to lock up an apartment for you? Like, just what's reasonable to expect a landlord would ask if you say, I see it, I love it, I can't get there just yet, but, you know, what would be reasonable for them to ask, and what would be excessive that should send up a red flag?
Sure. I think a reasonable accommodation from a landlord's perspective, just to know, because like you said, a lot of times they're getting a lot of responses for these apartments. So a lot of times, just from the landlord's point of view, they need to know that somebody, if they are serious or not about the apartment. For us personally, we will usually request that they fill out a rental application. So we have their information, and from our point of view, what we usually look for is we will run a standard credit check, and we will usually, if we can, try to contact previous landlords or references just to verify, especially if we can't meet somebody in person, just to verify that they are who they say they are. But I would say nothing really further, more with that, unless, you know, you're moving forward with the apartment, you want to sign a lease. I wouldn't send any copies of identification or anything like that, unless you're to the point where you're ready to sign a lease with somebody and put a security deposit down.
Okay. Okay. So you find a place and you get a lease. What's a good way to, how do you establish a good relationship with a landlord once you know where you're going to be and who you're going to rent from?
Sure. In terms of, you know, getting to a good point with your landlord or your property manager off the bat, the biggest thing I would say is to just, and this goes for both parties as well, the landlord or property manager and the tenant, is communication in general. Just, you know, any issues with the apartment or anything that, you know, that you want to establish right off the bat before you move in, whether it has to be with pets or emotional support animals or anything like that, clear everything up with your landlord upfront before you sign the lease. If a lot of times I've seen where somebody will be, you know, a tenant might be nervous or anxious about bringing up that they have an emotional support animal or something like that, so they decide to did not say anything. Then they sign the lease and the lease says no pets or something like that. And then they tell the landlord afterwards, you know, that's just an example, but just be upfront with everything right off the bat. That's going to just make the relationship much smoother, I think, as a whole in general.
Okay. And then when you move in and so you're currently renting, how do you maintain a good relationship with your landlord? What kinds of things should you expect from a landlord? And what kinds of mm-hmm. things would a landlord be expecting from you?
Sure. I think it goes similar type of response, but it goes both ways. I think it starts with respect on both ends. You know, if I have always found that if tenants are honest with us, if they're upfront, if they communicate well, then regardless, you will get the same level of everything back to you as well. I think that, you know, tenants need to, just the same as landlords, but everybody needs to manage expectations. There's going to be certain scenarios that come up, and both parties need to be able to handle them respectfully. There's going to be certain scenarios where a tenant might be a couple days late on rent, you know, which is understandable. Things happen in life. But there's going to be certain scenarios where at the same time, a tenant might want, you know, a specific maintenance request or something done, and they might not understand all of the, you know, the background things, whether it's several maintenance personnel are out sick, or there was, there's a big emergency or water leak at another property, and kind of all of our maintenance resources are going there for the day. So it's really just communication and both parties understanding that things happen. But as long as the relationship is solid and the communication is there, everything, you know, will be handled in a timely manner.
Okay. So renter's insurance, what are your thoughts about whether somebody should have it and, you know, what might be in there?
Yeah, I think renter's insurance is you know, one of the best things that a tenant can do just to ensure their, you know, give themselves a peace of mind for their own personal belongings, but also, you know, for all parties to be protected. If there is ever, you know, hopefully it never happens, but, you know, a major incident, whether it's a big leak, water damage, a fire, you know, anything like that, you know, good landlords will take care of their tenants, obviously, but in specific situations, whether it's the property owner's insurance or anything like that, there's always, you know, gray areas and fine print in those contracts. And it just can't be guaranteed that every item is going to be covered in a situation like that. So it's just an extra layer of security, an extra coverage blanket for tenants, whether it's, you know, any major, you know, incidents that come up like that, or, you know, theft. Obviously, hopefully it never happens, but I always strongly encourage all tenants to look into renter's insurance. And it's actually a very cost-effective option too. Most tenants I've found can roll it into their car insurance or anything like that. And it's usually around, I think, $100 a year.
Okay. Okay, great. That sounds affordable.
Hey, it's Steve. I have a quick message for you, and then we'll get right back to the show. More and more people don't want to be told how to manage their finances, but want to know how to do it themselves. If you're one of them, I'd like to tell you about our innovative new approach to financial advice, Field of Vision Financial Planning. It's a combination coaching program and financial planning service. Each month, you'll get an exercise to help you develop one of the critical skills for managing your finances. At the end of the month, you'll have a 30-minute Zoom call with a financial advisor to review your work, offer some feedback, give you some tips, and some guidance. After a year, you'll have a complete financial plan. But more important, you'll have begun developing the skills and habits you need to succeed. Find out more at focusedwealthadvisors.com/field. While you're there, download your free copy of 3 Wealth Hacks You Can Use Today. Start taking more control of your finances and your future today. Go to focusedwealthadvisors.com/field to learn more. And now, back to the show.
So Adrian, here on 30 Minute Money, we're real big on 30 minute action lists. So if somebody is thinking about moving within Rochester, or if they're thinking about moving to Rochester, what are the things they should put on their 30 minute action list today?
So I think that the most important things, number one is to narrow down the neighborhoods that you want to live in. More importantly, even narrow down where you don't want to live. If you can just completely eliminate a few neighborhoods or circle several neighborhoods that you know that you want to live in, that's going to, you know, eliminate a lot of headaches, and it's really going to make the whole process easier. In terms of the next item, I would say know your budget, understand that budget. Do not set a number for yourself and do not go over it. Incorporate things like parking, utilities, laundry, all of those things, and have that incorporated into your number so that you know what that max number is and you're not going to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation with that. And then I would say really set a goal, whether it's 5 or 6 places, something like that, that you are going to, that you can schedule to take a look at. Don't fall in love with the first place. There's a good chance that you might not even hear back from that landlord or property manager because they're inundated. So have at least 5-6 places lined up that you can look at in those neighborhoods that we discussed. And then really maybe the most important thing is to try and find a local contact, like we discussed earlier, whether it's through a friend that has a good landlord or property manager, family, coworkers, new coworkers that can set you up with their landlord, perhaps anything that can get your foot in the door. So you have a local person that you can call, text, email, really anything like that is going to help a ton.
That sounds great. Well, Adrian, this has been very helpful. A lot of really good ideas in here. I appreciate it.
Yes.
If people want to find you and talk more about that, where can they contact you?
Yes. So email is a great way to contact me. My email is adrian@marksiebeck.com. We can get that in your description, I'm sure. They can reach out to me via my cell number as well, which we can put in the description as well, or just the Mark Siebeck team website. All of my information is on there as well, obviously under property manager.
That sounds great. We'll make sure that we put all that contact information in the notes. Yes. Because I would bet 99% of the people who listen will not know how to spell Siebeck. So come to the website. You will find it there. It's spelled funny. So just be ready for that. So Adrian, Thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks for being our guest on 30 Minute Money.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciated it.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or like the Stephen Wershing CFP Facebook page, and feel free to leave us a suggestion for what topics you would like to hear discussed on the show. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Focus Wealth Advisors and Cambridge are separate entities.